Yes.
This is on the section that we were talking about previously. Would you mind clarifying where Nirvana fits into the different stages of enlightenment?
Well, I would say that the momentary experiences of Nirvana are part of even the first stage of enlightenment, what we call stream entry. The advice the Buddha gave to Meghia, by contemplating impermanence, the arising and passing of things, that leads to the insight into not-self, and then the insight into not-self leads to the letting go of the conceit I am, and that is Nibbana here and now. So if there is a substantial insight into anicca, the mind really sees that things are not really things. Everything we call a thing is in a process of transformation. And therefore, this sense of I is similarly in that process of transformation. There's no substantial, solid thing there. Then that leads to the letting go of the conceit I am. And in that moment, there's, as he said, that is Nibbana here and now. So that Tadangana Nibbana, or the momentary Nibbana, I would say, is part of the first stage of enlightenment, and then gets stronger or more continuous or more regularly, more completely realized as those stages are reached along the way. But I would say that when there's the practice of insight meditation, vipassana, in those moments where the quality of grasping is stopped, grasping at an object or grasping at the subject, and the mind is awake and alert to the present reality, not grasping anything, then that quality that's present there, that I would say that's the most immediate and accessible experience of Nibbana. It's not a kind of exotic experience, it's not dramatic, but it's, in a way, it's almost like a quiet normality. There's a great quality of brightness, of spaciousness, of simplicity, of wholeness. Rundle was talking about the sun coming out from behind the clouds. Like, oh, that same kind of, oh, that's the sun. So internally, it's that the sun of wisdom coming out from behind the clouds of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the quality of peacefulness is part of it, but also when Lumpo Cha would describe that quality, he would use, there's an expression in the Thai language which is which alliterates very neatly sawang, sa'at, sangop, which means, sawang means bright or radiant, sa'at means pure, sangop means peaceful. Amongst the Thai forest ajans, that expression, sawang, sa'at, sangop, purity, radiance, and peacefulness, they are often conveniently used as a sort of description of the mind awakening to Dhamma or realizing Nibbana. So peacefulness is not the only quality, but that sense of brightness. Also simplicity, one of those qualities, nipapancha, freedom from complication. There's a simplicity and a spaciousness along with that kind of brightness, peacefulness, and a sense of purity, and no sense of self. There isn't a sense of a me who's realizing something or doing something. There's just the mind awake to the nature of the present reality. So that can just be, oh, for like a couple of seconds during a three-month period. But it's very extremely helpful to notice, to really appreciate that. So often when in giving the meditation guidance, I'll say, yeah, let that be known. Yeah, let that sink in. Yeah, with that, appreciate that when the grasping stops, what's present is that simplicity, purity, peacefulness, brightness that's present. Let that be noticed. Don't overlook that, or sort of get onto the next thing, or get back to the practice. But rather, when the grasping stops, to consciously notice what is the nature of mind when grasping is ended, and let that speak for itself. You don't have to make any kind of comment or do anything with it. Just let that quality be known. That then creates the causes for that to be strengthened and supported as practice continues.